जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त बिन्ना जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त बिन्ना Today we are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela Chapter 8, Talks Between the Lord and Ramananda Rai, and it's text number 289 to 291. Tumara thami amara kichu gupta nahi kama लुकाइले प्रेम बले जान सर्व मम तुमार थाई आमारा किछु गुप्त नाही कमा लुकाइले प्रेम बले जान सर्व मम तुमार ताई आमरा किछु गुप्त नाही कमा लुकाइले प्रेम बले जान सर्व मम तुम्हारा ताई अमर किछु गुप्त नहीं कमा लुकाइले प्रेम बले जान सर्व मम तुम्हारा ताई अमर किछु गुप्त नहीं कमा लुकाइले प्रेम बले जान सर्व मम किछु गुप्त नहि कमा लुकाइले प्रेम बले जान सर्व मम लुकाइले प्रेम बले जान सर्व मम तुम्हारा थाई बिफोर यू हमारा माय किचु एनीथिंग गुप्त हिडन नाही इज नॉट कर्म action lukaile even if I conceal prema bale by the force of your love jana you know sarva marma everything in detail translation by Srila Prabhupada Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then admitted to his pure devotee Ramananda Rai, Now there is no confidential activity unknown to you. Even though I try to conceal my activities, you can understand everything in detail by virtue of your advanced love for me. You can all chant this together.
गुप्तेरा किह कहा ना कार्य प्रकाश हमारा बतुल चेष्टा लोके उपहार
The Lord then requested Ramananda Rai, keep all these talks a secret. Please do not expose them anywhere and everywhere, since my activities appear to be like those of a madman. People may take them lightly and laugh. 291. Ami eka batula tumi dvitiya batula atayeva tumaya maya hai samatula. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, indeed, I am a madman, and you are also a madman. Therefore, both of us are on the same platform. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. All these conversations between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appear ludicrous to a common man who is not a devotee. The entire world is filled with material conceptions, and people are unable to understand these conversations due to the conditioning of mundane philosophy. Those who are overly attached to mundane activities cannot understand the ecstatic conversations between Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Consequently, the Lord requested that Ramananda Rai keep all these conversations secret and not expose them to the general populace. If one is actually advanced in Krishna consciousness, he cannot understand these confidential talks. Otherwise, they appear crazy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore informed Ramananda Rai that they both appeared as madmen and were therefore on the same platform. It is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Nanisha sarva bhutanam tasyam jagrati samyani yasyam jagrati bhutani sanisha pashyato mune. What is night for all beings is the time of awakening for the self-control. And the time of awakening for all beings is night for the introspective sage. Sometimes Krishna consciousness appears like a type of madness to mundane people, just as the activities of mundaners are considered a form of madness by Krishna conscious men. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Jnanati Nirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuram Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadam Pitam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Garadara Shri Vasari Gau Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, let's see, quite a few devotees here who haven't been here in the class. So maybe I'll read a few of the verses ahead leading up to this part here. Starting at 274. In Mahabhagavat, the advanced devotee certainly sees everything mobile and immobile, but he does not exactly see their forms. Rather, everywhere he immediately sees manifest the form of the Supreme Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued to speak to Ramananda Rai. A person advanced in devotional service sees within everything the soul of souls, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Consequently, he always sees the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the cause of all causes and understands that all things are situated in him. The plants, creepers, trees, and trees were full of fruits and flowers due to ecstatic love of Krishna. Indeed, being so full, they were bowing down. They were inspired by such deep love for Krishna that they were constantly pouring showers of honey. In this way, the gopis saw all the forests of Vrindavan. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, my dear Rai, you are an advanced devotee and are always filled with ecstatic love for Radha and Krishna. Therefore, whatever you see anywhere and everywhere simply awakens your Krishna consciousness. Ramananda Rai replied, my dear Lord, please give up all these serious talks. please do not conceal your real form from me. My dear Lord, I can understand that you have assumed the ecstasy and bodily complexion of Srimati Radharani. By accepting this, you are tasting your own personal transcendental humor and have therefore appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. My dear Lord, you have descended in this incarnation of Lord Chaitanya for your own personal reasons. You have come to taste your own spiritual bliss, and at the same time, you are transforming the whole world by spreading the ecstasy of love of Godhead. My dear Lord, by your causeless mercy, you have appeared before me to grant me liberation. Now you are playing in a duplicitous way. What is your reason for this behavior? Lord Sri Krishna is a reservoir of all pleasure, and Srimati Radharani is the personification of ecstatic love of Godhead. These two forms combined as one in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This being the case, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his real form to Ramananda Rai. Upon seeing this form, this is an important verse, upon seeing this form, Ramananda Rai almost lost consciousness in transcendental bliss. Unable to remain standing, he fell to the ground. So he saw a form, and he almost lost consciousness, and he fell to the ground. And Ramananda Rai fell to the ground unconscious. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu touched his hand, not his head, and he immediately regained consciousness. However, when he saw Lord Chaitanya in the dress of a sannyasi, he was struck with wonder. After embracing Ramananda Rai, the Lord pacified him, informing him, "But for you, no one has ever seen this form." So Ramananda Rai, first one to see that form. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, confirmed, "All the truths about my pastimes and mellows are within your knowledge, therefore I have shown this form to you. Actually, my body does not have a white complexion. It only appears so because it has touched the body of Srimati Radharani. However, she does not touch anyone but the son of Nanda Maharaj. I have now converted my body and mind into the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani. Thus I am tasting my own personal sweetness in that form." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then admitted to his pure devotee Ramananda Rai, "Now there is no confidential activity unknown to you. Even though I try to conceal my activities, you can understand everything in detail by virtue of your advanced love for me." The Lord then requested Ramananda Rai, "Keep all these thoughts secret. Please do not expose them anywhere and everywhere, since their activities appear to be like those of a madman. People may take them lightly and they may laugh." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, "Indeed, I am a madman, and you are also a madman. Therefore, both of us are on the same platform." And that's the verse we end on today. So, so Ramananda Rai and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has been speaking for a long time, 290 verses so far. And if you remember when they met in, at the banks of the Godavari, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was just traveling and then he saw the river Godavari. And immediately he thought of the river Jamuna. And then when he looked and he saw the trees on the banks of the Godavari, he thought of the village of Vrindavan. Immediately he started feeling all these ecstatic feelings. And he bathed in the river there, and then he chanted and danced on the riverbank, and then he saw the king, who he thought was Ramananda Rai. Of course, he was already primed by Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that this great saintly person is there, he must go visit him. So he saw Ramananda Rai, and there was music, and he was accompanied by so many of his followers and brahmanas, and they were chanting verses and so forth. And Ramananda Rai was in a palanquin. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suspected that that was him. So Ramananda Rai, after he saw Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to him looked like a very brilliant personality, and so sannyasi. And so Ramananda Rai went over to pay his respects and to meet the sannyasi. So after that, then all these, they would sit down and then they would start speaking, and that's 290 verses ago. So it was very, very wonderful. Now remember, Ramananda Rai is considered to be Lalita Devi. Vishakha Devi, who was that, you know? Sorry? Swarup Damodar. Well, it's described that the Srimati Radharani, actually her first expansion was Lalita, and then second expansion was Vishakha. So even though it is described that Ramananda Rai was Lalita, it was actually a combination of Lalita and Srimati Radharani. So Swarup Damodar. So these two devotees are very confidential associates of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this one verse here said, keep all these talks a secret. Please do not expose them anywhere and everywhere, since my activities appear to be like those of a madman. People may take them lightly and they may laugh. Actually, people do see us chanting and dancing on the streets, and they dismiss us. These guys must be crazy. And we see that all the time, actually. Not very many people. Most people actually take part, and most people actually like it. You smile from their cars when you're out there in intersection in Gainesville. You see so many people who actually love the chanting and dancing. And they do all different kinds of reactions you get from people out there. And very few of them actually may dismiss us, or you know, may turn their face or put their hands on their ear or something. So these activities may appear to people like a joke. And actually, Prakashananda Saraswati, you remember when both Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Prakashananda Saraswati and his disciples, they all thought that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a madman. Why would he, having taken initiation, sannyas initiation from a Mayavadi sannyasi, Keshava Bharati, and was supposed to be meditating, was supposed to be reading the scriptures and studying the Vedanta, why was he associating with these low-class men, Prakashananda said. He said, Prava Vedekiya Toma Shakshat Narayan Hinchara Kara Kene Iti Te Kira Karan. But you look so brilliant, as if you are Narayan himself. Will you kindly explain the reason that you have adopted the behavior of lower-class people? So even Prakashananda Saraswati, the head of so many thousands of sannyasis, and he couldn't understand Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So then, in the Adi Leela, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Prabhu kahe shuna shri parihara karan guru more murkha deki karila shashan. My dear sir, kindly hear the reason. My spiritual master considered me a fool, and therefore he chastised me. So, and then he explained to him, of course there was going to be a big conversation between Prakashananda Saraswati and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, where Prakashananda Saraswati and all his disciples, how many, 10,000 disciples, sannyas disciples, they were all being converted by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And a question came up the other day in class about why Krishna was acting in the behavior he was acting, and why was he defending himself when Satyajit took the jewel, the Samantaka jewel. And in discussing with Madan Mohan Prabhu, we understood, or at least we came up with an answer, that actually Krishna wasn't defending himself. He was only acting because his devotees were feeling the pinch of how someone could almost like chastise Krishna. So, Srila Prabhupada described, Prabhupada said, he's quoting Lord Chaitanya, "I am getting almost like a madman." So he again approached his spiritual master and submitted. "These are the symptoms I have developed. Sometimes I cry, sometimes I laugh, sometimes I dance. These are some of the symptoms. So I think I have become mad." So Srila Prabhupada is quoting Lord Chaitanya. "Kiva mantra dira goshai, kiva tara bal, japite japite mantra kari la pagal." I do not know what sort of mantra. You know the word pagal? Pagal means crazy, madman. "I do not know what sort of mantra you have given me, but it appears that I have become almost like a madman. Hashaya nachaya more karaya karma itashuni guru more mut. This chanting makes me obliged to laugh and dance and sing. So when my spiritual master heard me, he replied as follows: Krishna nama maha mantrera eta swabhav ye japi tara krishna upajaya bhav. Now the spiritual master is explaining, yes, this is the right result. This is Srila Prabhupada speaking now. This is the right result of chanting Hare Krishna. Unless you come to this emotional stage, transcendental emotional stage, you should know that you have not come to the perfectional stage of chanting. This I mean to say, laughing, crying and dancing is due to emotion of love of Godhead. So this is not bad. But, so Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master is telling him that. And it is described that Srila Prabhupada wrote that pamphlet called Who is Crazy? And in describing Who is Crazy, he made a few comments. Do you know what is it that Srila Prabhupada mentioned most about someone who is crazy? What did he actually describe, someone who is crazy?
Remember correctly, it had to do with misidentifying oneself as something that is not.
Yeah.
Like Napoleon, you know, like that's a typical thing in a mental hospital. People are walking around with their hands in their shirt, you know, pretending
right.
Napoleon. So the common man, he's identifying himself as a body, and that's the craziness.
On the button. Thank you. That was very good. That's exactly what. Most times you see Srila Prabhupada describing that as the madness, as the craziness that people identify with the body. It's like someone comes into this temple and he says, "Oh, what a beautiful restaurant," or something like that. So they don't know, and they're thinking, "Why am this body?" And they misidentify the activities of the body, thinking that the body is all in all, and they give everything to the body, not knowing that they are the spirit soul. So, Srila Prabhupada described in 5.18.12, Yasyasti bhakti bhagavata kinchana sarvai gunas tatra samasate sura harava bhaktasya kuto mahadguna manoratena sati bhavato vahi manoratena. That all the demigods and their exalted qualities, such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation, become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Lord, Vasudeva. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material activities has no good quality. I didn't say some good quality, has some good, has no good quality. Even if he is adept at the practice of mystic yoga or the honest endeavor of maintaining his family and relatives, he must be driven by his own mental speculations and must engage in the service of the Lord's external energy. How can there be any good qualities in such a man? That's very heavy. Because sometimes people, we see people out there who are, they have no idea of who Krishna is and the difference between body and soul, but they appear to be very upright and very nice, and you speak to them, they're very polite and so forth. So sometimes you may ask, well, how is it that these people, how is it that they have no good qualities? They have some good qualities. So here it is stated very clearly, they have no good qualities because they have no idea of the purpose of life, the difference between body and soul, which is the number one lesson in spiritual life. Number one lesson in spiritual life is there is a difference between body and soul. We are not this body, we are the spirit soul. And what should we do? So it is described even further that one who identifies himself as the inert body composed of mucus and bile and stool and so forth, and that his wife and family are permanently his own, that such a person is no better than a cow or an ass. This came up also before. Sa eva gokara. In a room conversation in Bombay in 1973, an Indian woman asked a question to Srila Prabhupada, and she said, but Guru Maharaj, one has to do her duty as advised. Prabhupada said, you do not know what is your duty, first of all. A madman, he does not know his duty. Woman, Indian woman. But if he is, the word is indistinct, then where is he going to get the money for his food? But if he is something, then where is he going to get the money for his food? You can put in the word. Prabhupada said, oh, where we are getting money? Just like in London, George Harrison has given us a house, 55 lakhs worth. So if I wanted to possess this house by doing this business, 3 lifetimes would have been required. 3 lifetimes, I don't know how he calculated that, but okay, 3 lifetimes is nothing. Not even 3 lifetimes. We are spending like anything, but we have no stock. We do not know what we shall eat tomorrow morning. We do not know. It is our position. We do not know what I shall eat tomorrow or this evening, but do you think we are starving? We have no problem. Krishna says, Yoga Kshema Vahamyaham, Bhagavad Gita 9.22. Yes, here it is. Krishna is giving opportunity of eating for the cats and dogs, the birds and beasts, and I am engaged in his service. He will not give me food? Because we are not Krishna conscious, therefore we are thinking, if I do not work like these cats and dogs, I'll starve. That is my imperfect Krishna consciousness. And perfect Krishna consciousness means he knows that I have engaged my life in Krishna's business. Eko yo bahunam viradati kama. He is feeding millions and millions of living entities, and he'll keep me starving? Is it possible? That means he does not know what is Krishna. He is thinking Krishna is a fictitious thing. That is his position. He does not know what Krishna is. Yes, Krishna is feeding everyone. Why not me? What have I done? What I have done? Because I'm engaged in his service, therefore I shall starve. And the devotee has no such question also, whether he will starve or eat. It doesn't matter if he starves. It doesn't matter. He thinks, oh, Krishna has put me in this position to starve. And listen to the next part, which is more important. And the devotee has no such question. Oh, Krishna has put me in this position to starve. Just like in the hospital, a patient is ordered by the physician, you should not eat anything. So he knows it is good for me. Similarly, a devotee, when he is starving, he knows Krishna has put me in this starving condition, it is good for me. He never complains. In fact, in the verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Tattinukam Panchisha Mikshamano Gunjana Yuvatmakitam Dipatam, that one who suffers the reactions of his past misdeeds, constantly continuing to serve the Lord with body, mind and word, he becomes eligible to go back to the kingdom of God. Because he understands that the material world is a place of misery, suffering is always going to come, and he does not complain. He accepts everything as Krishna's mercy, and he is very happy to serve the Lord. All right, I'll stop there and see if there are any questions or comments. Tell your family first.
Someone might think this is a bit radical. I'm wondering if you can elucidate on the application of this principle. I mean, do we say that, you know, a grihastha, while making money, spends the balance of his time probably in making money? Do we say that he should not do that? Because he should spend his time just chanting, Krishna will provide for him? I mean, how does it actually work in practice?
Well, it works both ways. We have Krishna. He's giving us the intelligence of what to do. And in the beginning, we see how he, when Chatur Maharaj gave up his work as a social worker and went back to the temple very happily, that now I have given up all the, the nonsense work and material attachment. And now I can really plunge into serving Srila Prabhupada and serving the mission. When he went to Srila Prabhupada, and he mentioned that now Prabhupada happily explained to Prabhupada that I've given up my job and now I can be with you 24 hours and serve your mission. And Srila Prabhupada said, you have given up the job? Can you get it back? So, in explaining that because he was working and he was using the money for maintaining the temple, he was giving the money to Prabhupada. All the salary, the paycheck goes to Prabhupada. And he was using it for maintaining the temple, and that temple, what is the temple used for? For spreading the message of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, spreading the message of Godhead. Because of that, it was very important. So we have to be intelligent and do what we have to do. We have to maintain these bodies still, and because we're living in a world where paper money is necessary and so many other things are necessary, so we have to use it, but in a Krishna conscious way. Prabhupada said there is one little detail between spiritual life and material life. A little detail is how we see it. If we see it for our sense gratification, then we should give it up. But if you're seeing whatever we're doing, we have to maintain the family. The family are all Krishna conscious. The children go to the Gurukul. The wife is engaged in devotional service. The darlings serve the deity. They do so many of these services for the Supreme Lord. Then using, working and making money for that type of service for the Lord, that is necessary. And if one doesn't do that, then he could be placed in that position of being not Krishna conscious. Because he's sometimes actually brahmacharis, those who are staunch brahmacharis and then suddenly become grihasthas, they still have that the feeling of austerity and the feeling of detached from everything. So sometimes they act like a brahmachari in the household or ashram, which doesn't work. Doesn't work because now you have family, now you have to take care of them, you have to go to work, they need clothes, they need a place to stay, they need food, you have to provide. So we do that service of working, but with the consciousness of Krishna, in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, you live in this world like a woman who has a paramour. So the woman has a boyfriend, but she does everything so nicely that her husband does not detect that she has a boyfriend. So in the same way, we work in this world, do everything that we have to do, but with Krishna in the background of our minds constantly. And constantly remembering Krishna and begging for his mercy. I think I'm mushroom.
Earlier in this conversation between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya, Ramananda Roy quotes from the prayers of Lord Brahma in this regard. It's a famous verse, Yane Prayasam Udapasham Uva Juventusam Mukaritam Bhagavivartam. Those who, even while remaining situated in their established social positions, throw away the process of speculative knowledge and with their body, words, and mind offer all respects to descriptions of your personality and activities, dedicating their lives to these narrations, which are vibrated by you personally and by your pure devotees, certainly conquer your lordship, although you are otherwise unconquerable by anyone within the two worlds. It seems like the key is absorption. Actually properly situated, then he can make progress. If he, like you mentioned, Ramachari, if he goes outside of the Sadharma responsibility, then it's habit.
Yeah. Yeah,
he destabilizes his position to become a execute Krishna consciousness.
And he's gradually made progress. You gradually make progress also, having the right consciousness, then you'll get to see everything clearly in time.
We had the example of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was very highly placed. He's practically, someone with an Indian body, he was in the most respectable position possible. Consciousness was manasit deho will teach a moment and everything is all good for Krishna. So that's the mindset. Nobody was going to talk about bhajan.
Yeah, he was even offering his family members Krishna. I don't know how to do it.
In all the examples that are being given so far, there's also a timeline, because we see Sasrup Maharaj at one point he wasn't working anymore, and with Bhaktivinoda Thakur at one point he wasn't working anymore. Mm-hmm. So maybe you could explain the transition of when things are proper and when things are improper.
Yeah, what is required for the job at that particular time, that's what the devotee does. Srila Prabhupada, in his own life, we see how he maintained family up to a certain point, and then when the family members didn't agree with what he was doing and did not support his preaching and so forth, then he also happily left home. So So there's a time for everything. And when we put in our situation, wherever we are at, we can serve Krishna. Sometimes people say, well, you know, when I leave, you know, after my family life, then I will really dive into Krishna consciousness. Or when this problem is solved, or when I get that job, or so forth and so on. People in general, they say, when I get money, I'll serve God. People who don't know. Then they say, when I get money, when I get everything, then I will serve God. So devotees are opposite of that. Whatever position we are in and whatever we have at this present moment, take advantage of that and continue to serve the Lord. Because if we wait, time might run out and we may lose the opportunity. So, anything else? Saranga Thakur.
Hare Krishna, Kavya, thank you. I was thinking of the position in that verse in the 10th canto, that being a compound where we gratefully acknowledge the Lord's blessings no matter what's going on. And then the example of devotees that have prayed in their distress for the Lord's mercy, and that applies to us in our lives. So I'm wondering if there's a time for both. Sometimes. Yeah. We're encouraged to be genuine before the devotees, before the Lord, and to pray where we really are. But it seems to contradict the position of that kind of canto.
Well, praying to the Lord for anything is good. Sri Prabhupada said, it's better we pray to the Lord for anything that we need, material or spiritual. Because it will help us to at least contact the Lord. What is that verse? Kama sarva kama va moksha kama udara dhi sivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Akama, if one has no desires, sarva kama, if he has all the desires of the world, moksha kama, if he wants liberation, all of these personalities are welcome to worship the Lord. In fact, they should worship the Lord. Because otherwise, we're going to go, there's a saying, if you want something, you should go to the Lord first. And he can, even if it is material, gradually you'll get purified because you're contacting the Lord. But from every direction, from any way we actually contact him, it is purified. Somebody else has their hand up. We'll come back to you, the message.
I just want to ask you, what do you suggest for, you know, we can see this is a very difficult thing for people not to blame the instrument of their karma, especially if, you know, somebody does something to you that's ethically wrong, or people naturally could blame that person, that, like, how can they do that? People don't think that, oh, you know, this is not, you know, it's not an accident that this is happening to me. So what do you suggest? What can one do to
well,
give up the blame of the instruments that are not?
Well, two things is, I can understand you correctly. If someone is doing something to us, if someone commits a crime or they steal, you know, my car or whatever, the laws of the state, the laws of the state has to come into action, so we have to report it and we have to do all that thing. But the fact that the car was stolen, there is a reason, there is another reason, not just that the neighbor came and stole the car, but there is something else also that's happening. So Krishna is, he's in control at all times, not a blade of grass moves without his direction. So there is some lesson for us when that happens. Anything that happens to us, there is a lesson. And because we are Krishna's devotees, he allows it to happen so that we can learn. There is a lesson for us to learn. So whenever something happens to us, we have to think, well, what is the lesson that Krishna has for me here? And it's not going to end there, because we are constantly trying to make progress, and therefore along the way there will be other tests and other things will happen to help us become higher and higher. Because if you don't have practice of patience and tolerance, if you don't have the someone or something presenting itself for to test our patience, test our tolerance, test our our love or our feeling for Krishna, then we will know where we are. So sometimes these things happen just to see where we are. How do you think about this one? So let's see what you do with this, and then you pass that one, and then Krishna puts something else. So what about this? By that time your car was lost, but now your house is burned down. So it gets more intense each time as you get closer to Krishna. The Maya is also acting to separate those who are serious about going to Krishna. And therefore, all of that is in the working. Okay, the other person. And then we'll come to Janmashtami.
Just as you were saying, as you come closer to Krishna, he will give you another test to see how much you really want him, like the house burning down, etc. So how do you help someone to not feel that? That's like really severe and extreme. I don't know if I want to come too close to Krishna. What would you say, or what would you be thinking inside would make us happy even, or motivated to tell it to
accept those
things joyfully? What conception
does
someone have to have to be able to
look
on that peacefully and joyfully?
Well, that's where knowledge comes in. Knowledge and surrender to Krishna. Because the more we surrender to him, the more we would have that knowledge of what things can happen. For one who is surrendered to the Lord, he knows that anything can happen at any time. The worst things can happen at any time. And therefore, he does not complain when something happens. So depending on what level we are at, we'll be affected at different levels. So someone who doesn't have a lot of faith, is not very surrendered, and when the car is lost, then he blames Krishna. And someone else might lead the movement. Well, I can't accept this anymore. Father Lakshmi has a better answer back there. Microphone for the worldwide audience.
Hare Krishna. One thing that keeps us strong also in situations that are faith challenging is the example of others who are strong. So when we see people who are equipoised, that was Srila Prabhupada's gift to us, that we could see in him a person who came with nothing, who didn't know where the next meal, like you read earlier, we don't know where our next meal is coming from. But he was happy and he was okay with that. There were losses, there were gains, and whatever situation, he was fixed. And so seeing his an example and being able to associate with persons who are doing that gives us also strength. So association is very important. In the Bhagavad Gita, in the 9th chapter, Krishna says, Prabhupada says that faith is created by the association of devotees.
Thank you very much. Please read Mother Lakshmi Moni's article on Dandabat. What did it say? Did Srila Prabhupada come to your house today? Oh, has it been? Oh. It's wonderful. I read it and it's very, very nice. It's explaining if Srila Prabhupada come to your house today, what would you do? Basically. Okay, Janmashmita.
Regarding Sangha Thakur's point, when to pray and when not to pray, there's a legitimate, I mean, putting it in the Kama, Savakama, if the devotee is on a platform where he's vigorously trying to practice Uttama Bhakti, then there, you know, if there's an impediment to a rendering service, then the Gurdon Sringadev is there for prayers, and this is something that's fully conducive to advancing. And on the other hand, you know, if we're in a distressed circumstance, then better that we go deeper in the philosophy, like this one point, you know, rather than playing the blame game. One of the one reference that made a big difference for me, I had a lot of opportunity to blame. And a devotee pointed out to me this reference in 1st Canto, 9th chapter, 19th verse, which describes this is passing Bhishma Dev, you know, super difficult situation. Bhishma Dev, and he's in a bed of arrows. And he's consoling Yudhisthira, who's also super distressed, you know, because about 640 million people killed so he could be on the throne. He felt very despondent about it. So in the purport, Prabhupada describes, you know, I mentioned this yesterday, but it's if we really meditate on it, it makes a huge difference in our ability to process distress. This is what I find. And Prabhupada describes the relationship that Krishna has different bhavs of devotees. And this one that Yashoda Mayi, this deep Vatsalya Ras, mentioned Damodar Lila. And then the relationship, the deep friendship with Arjuna, between Arjuna's tributary sons of love and their friendship. And then he ends by saying, and the tribulations that the devotee undergoes is another transcendental bow to the Lord. And Vishwanachara Thakur, when Prabhupada kind of paraphrases him, says that Krishna puts a devotee in distress to deepen his devotion. So it's actually, you know, a huge opportunity. I mean, to cry to Krishna, you know, to engage in, and he's disentangling us from material consciousness and bodily consciousness. That's usually the case, you know, with the distress. I mean, as in the purporting to 10.14.8, you know, Krishna puts a devotee in distress, and it's Krishna, it's not the karma. I mean, it's not one's karma, but he's putting him in distress to eradicate the last vestiges of the enjoying spirit. And that's from the purporting. So it's a real opportunity. You know, I think devotees been around a long time, and they look back at their devotional career and the times when they made the most progress is when they were really being tested. You know, and they deepened their confidence in Krishna because they would see there was some big lesson that was being offered to them, you know, to the child.
Yeah, sometimes it's for eradicating the distress, eradicating the bad qualities, and other times it's to glorify the person, to glorify the devotee. So, thank you, that was good. Alright, I guess we'll end here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.